We're going to learn a tremendous lesson tonight. You have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now tonight, if you would take a special note, you do want to take your Bible and make some notes tonight, because this lesson is a tremendous lesson for all of us to learn. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 1. I'm really trying to slow down and give everybody the right information so you can get all your outlines. I heard of a couple that she would get the first part and he would get the last part. I'm going to slow down so every one of you can get both parts, okay? I'll try to go real slow. Susan would tell me that. I don't have my reminder here anymore. And so I'm trying to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to go at the right pace. Roman number 1 in the outline. David did a good thing the wrong way and paid a heavy price for it. David, King David, did a good thing the wrong way and paid a heavy price for it. Now, I want to take just a minute tonight and let you see this. Now, notice number 1 in Roman numeral 1a, David and the people decided to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. Notice, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. So this group bringing up the altar of the Ark of God is not just 20 or 30 people. It's tens of thousands. It's all of Israel that could get there. This is a great day. Does anybody know what the Ark of the Lord represented? Represented God Himself. So it's like we're bringing God into our city, Jerusalem. We're bringing His presence in. Now, David had set up a tent so that the Ark of God would have a place to reside. And so they're bringing it to that tent. Notice, if you would, verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahiah and the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God. Now notice in verse 5, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, on psalteries, on timbrels, on cornets, and on cymbals. So they have a band and an orchestra that they're playing all these beautiful instruments and stringed instruments, and trumpets are playing, and they are bringing in the Ark of God, and everybody's thrilled. Now, they said the Ark of God deserves a brand new cart, so they built a really fancy looking new cart for the Ark of God to sit on, and boy, they were so excited about it. And one of the oxen stumbled a little bit. And Uzzah is driving the cart. He sees the oxen stumble, looks back, and the cart moves a little bit. So he takes his hand, puts on the ark just to steady it. And God killed him. And David and all the people are really terrified and very confused. And I'm going to tell you this. If you and I do what David did, we're going to be afraid and confused also in our lives today. Notice, if you would, be in the outline. David took his best men and went to get the Ark of God and bring it to Jerusalem. Remember, in verse 1, all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, he had his best warriors to represent and to protect the Ark. So he goes and gets his Green Beret, his Navy SEALs. He gets them, and they are guarding the Ark and bringing it in to Jerusalem. And notice with me, if you would, B1. They were going to bring God's presence to Jerusalem. The Ark of God represented God's presence. And notice, too, they built a new cart to carry the Ark. Now, you would think that would be a gracious thing, a wonderful thing. To build a brand new cart that nothing's ever set on, it would just be for the Ark of God. That's very thoughtful of the people. Notice number 3. David and the people played and rejoiced before God with all their might. And notice, their hearts were fully into praising God. Now, follow along with me. They played and rejoiced with all their might. Their hearts are fully in it. And does anybody remember who's watching out her window when David is rejoicing? His wife, Michal. And she despises him in his heart, in her heart. Because David is rejoicing and jumping up and down. He's not looking kingly. And remember, she's a king's daughter. And so she's a bit embarrassed by his behavior. But he's rejoicing before the Lord. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline, number four, the oxen stumbled and the ark slipped. Then Uzzah steadied it with his hand, and God killed him. So notice, let's read it if you would, in verse 6. And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. Now understand, Uzzah had no idea he had committed an error. David had no idea he had committed an error. The 30,000 chosen men had no idea he had committed an error. Now I want you to understand this. The whole nation, all of the Kohathites, all of the priests, all of the scribes, no one knew that Uzzah had committed an error, a sin against God. And he died for it. They didn't understand. They were actually a little upset with God. Notice, if you would, 8, verse 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. So David is displeased with God. And it was David's error. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, just very carefully, see in the outline, the people and David became afraid of God. God, number one, always gets angry at sin. Psalm 7:1 specifically says God is angry with the wicked every day. So when we live wickedly, God is never happy with us. He is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11 right there. The Bible says he judges the righteous, but he's angry with the wicked every day. Now notice, if you would, two, God always punishes sin. Because God doesn't always punish instantly, like he did to Ananias and Sapphira, the fear is not quite as great. And like he did to Uzzah, the fear is not quite as great. It's not as quick to see it. Or like he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, or like he did to, the Egyptians as they followed the Israelites across the Red Sea on dry land. God doesn't normally do things where all of a sudden you see dead bodies everywhere and say, oh, God is angry. But every time we sin against God, God's angry. Now, understand tonight, Uzzah committed an error and no one in Israel knew what it was. Now, tonight, there should be no sin that somebody can do in this church, but that people in this church, somebody doesn't recognize it and say, I know why that's sinful. And here's the reference. I know why that's wrong, and here's the verse. Now, notice, if you would, three, we should be afraid of God when we sin. There's no blank there. I don't want you to have to write it. You want to think about that. We should be fearful of God when we sin against Him. Because remember this. God said He is wicked. He is angry with the wicked every day. And every sin gets punished. It's just His mercy doesn't allow Him to punish us instantly every time. Aren't you grateful for that? We'd be in trouble all over the place if we had to get punished for everything we did every minute. So God is gracious to us. But I want you to understand, Not knowing we committed an error is no excuse. Everyone in this room, you are responsible to do what's right before the Lord yourself. Now, notice if you would, in the outline. The ark was placed at a nearby house and left. They were afraid to move it anywhere. Now, before you look, does anybody know whose house they left it at? If you were in Sunday school, in my Sunday school class, we studied this very thing. Does anybody know who it was? Only three people. Four. Okay. Patrick. Obed-Edom. Notice, if you would, verse number 11. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is always rich blessing. So word gets back to David. Now I want you to understand, David, it looks like, looked for 3 months before he found the error. 3 months. Now I want you to know something tonight. It should not take one person in this room 3 months to find out what is sin in God's sight. It's pretty clear in Scripture. You'll be able to find it very quickly. Now, notice if you would in the outline. Then David asked, how can I bring the ark of God to Jerusalem? So he went back to God's word to find out what to do. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy 17. We're going to take two steps to get there. Deuteronomy 17. And I want you to notice who's most responsible. Deuteronomy 17. Verse 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. They said, we want a king to rule over us like everybody else does. Then God says, look, I'm not for it, but okay, I'll give it to you. I'll give you a king, but the king's got to do these things. So he makes a list here, not very long. Notice, if you would. 16, he shall not multiply horses to himself, because he didn't want the people to go to Egypt and get Arabian horses, because they were the best in the world. He wanted them to stay out of Egypt. He also said in verse 17, don't multiply wives to yourself, because they'll turn your heart away, which they did to David, and they also did to Solomon in a great way. And notice, if you would, in verse number 18, here, this is the key. 18 and 19. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. So David was supposed to write a copy of the book of Deuteronomy himself in his own writing so he would know what it says. And notice verse 19. And it shall be with him. That's the reason I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. He's supposed to get up, you read your Bible. It should be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. So David, I want you to know what the book of Deuteronomy says. I want you to know what the book of Genesis says. I want you to know for the first five books of Pentateuch. I want you to know every word of what they say. Notice why. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. I want you to fear and respect the Lord without him having to punish you. And to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So now let me ask this question. This error happened because God held one man accountable. And David failed. Apparently he didn't read his Bible every day. Maybe he did write a copy of the scriptures. We don't know. But it took him 3 months to figure out what he did wrong. So he gets a copy of the scriptures. Now, notice with me if you would. Look in 1 Chronicles 13. 1 Chronicles 13. I want you to see. I want you to see one word. Verse 12. 1 Chronicles 13:12. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So, in other words, David was afraid of God and there was no reason. God said, if you read my word and you see what I say, then you'll have a respect and a fear for me that will say, I never want to do that. I want you to learn to have a respect for me because I'm always going to tell you the right thing to do. And I'm always going to tell you what's wrong to do. And thereby you'll have respect for me and a fear for me without me having to kill somebody to get your attention. So tonight, everybody in this room, you have a responsibility to take a copy of this book and read it every day and study it so that you know what's right to do, so that you don't make an error, or one of your friends don't make an error, or some of your children don't make an error and mess up their lives. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Numbers, chapter number 4. Put your finger there and hold it. Now let's go to Roman numeral 2 in the outline. David's search of the Scriptures revealed both the reason for his failure and the solution to the problem of how to move the ark and to please the Lord. So when David did what God said kings are supposed to do, now keep in mind it took him 3 months to find it. Because there's no way in the world he wanted to leave the ark of God in Obed-Edom's house with all the blessings, God's blessing Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was a Gittite. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a proselyte there in Jerusalem worshiping the Lord because he loved the Lord, but he wasn't a Jew. And they put it in his house and he became wealthy and God blessed him out. And there's no way David would sit there and watch month after month God bless him. He said, I got to get that ark back to Jerusalem. So he's looking frantically to try to find out what did we do wrong. Numbers 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the house of the of their fathers. And notice, if you would, verse number 4. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. Now flip over to verse 15. And when Aaron and his sons had made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, we've packed up the ark of God, we're getting ready to move it. As the camp is set to move forward, after that, the sons of Kohath, a specific group of people, shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. God had told them hundreds of years early, if you touch that ark, you're going to die. Why is it a whole nation missed it? It's the same reason we have a lot of young people in this room that lie, or adults that will lie, or will do things we ought not to do. It's because we don't fear the Lord and have a copy of His Word and say, God said not to do this. David did a wrong thing, a right thing, the wrong way. I think there's a lot of worship going on before the Lord that's the wrong way. I think God wants your heart felt attention from a holy life. You're going to see in just a minute what David asked these people to do. So David finds out, and notice this in verse number 15. It says this, these things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. So now look at the outline. God had said to Moses in the original instructions of how to use the ark in worship. And who should handle the ark? God even explained how to move the ark. Now, you'll notice that in this passage, he tells them exactly what to do. He said, don't anybody touch it. Pick it up and don't touch it. Now, notice if you would, in Samuel, 2 Samuel. Turn back over to 2 Samuel if you would. And then notice if you would, in this passage. In verse 12, it was told David, King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. So that one sentence, now I want you to, if you don't mind, turn over, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 through 14, and you're going to find the explanation of that one verse, how he did it. Notice if you would. First Chronicles 15, verse 12. Excuse me, verse 2. I'm sorry. Look at verse 2. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." Now down, look at verse 12. "And he said unto them, You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites." Okay, watch this. "Sanctify yourselves. Get your life right. Clean up your lives. Be holy. You can't carry the ark with dirty hearts. Both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of God, the Lord God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it." Verse 13. "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after due order." Now notice, if you would, in verse number 14. "So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." Verse 15. "And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord." Now, you'll understand that David figured it out. He gets up before everybody and he says, "Look, the reason God was angry at us is because we touched the ark." He said, "We did it." So whenever a family messes up and does the wrong thing, the father's got to say, "Look, we did the wrong thing, but it's my responsibility to figure it out." Everybody can chip in. Anybody could have told David, "David, we did the wrong thing. Look at Numbers 4. But nobody did. Why did it take 3 months? Because nobody was familiar with the Word of God. Not even the priests of the Levites. Tonight, folks, if you and I don't know this book, we're going to make a lot of errors. Because sin is not what is up to us that looks bad. Sin is what looks bad to the Lord. He defines it. You and I don't get a chance to choose what the definition of sin is. When God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right," obedience is in the same chapter of Romans chapter 1, the longest chapter of sinful things, there with hatefulness and a murder and immorality of all kinds. It's right there with it. Obey your parents. Disobedience to parents. So tonight, you and I can't get a chance to just say, "Well, you know, this I shouldn't do. We shouldn't do that." We look through the scriptures and everything we see, there's, "Lord, I don't want to do that anymore." Clean up your life so that you can carry the presence of God in your life. You don't touch him. He just oozes out through the Holy Spirit in our life. There are not enough Christians that are holy enough for the Holy Spirit to shine through their hearts. So the presence of God is lost to the world. Now, notice if you would in the outline, number one, this is Roman numeral 2A1. Only the sons of Kohath, a family of the Levites, could move the ark, and they could not touch it or they would die. Numbers 4:15. It just beyond me, it boggles my mind. It took them 3 months to find that verse and to figure it out. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people in churches that have got the curse of God in their life and they don't understand why everything's going wrong all the time. They can't understand. It's like we've committed some error, but we don't know what it is. They don't go to the book and say, get on their knees and say, Lord, show me. Because God will. Notice this. Two, the moving of the ark was so special to God that they had to bear it upon their shoulders with two poles so that no one touched it. His presence is holy. The ark of God represented His presence. Folks, when you and I go into our closet to pray, I know me that I'm not holy enough in my treatment of the attitude toward God. There are times I get down to pray and things are going on around me and I block them out of my mind, but I'm just talking to the Lord. I think the Lord wants undivided attention. I don't think He wants us doing three or four things at one time. He is God. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking to Him while you're driving or while you're walking. But I'm just telling you, there ought to be times when you go to a closet and you block everything out and you get down and say, Lord, it's just me. Could I talk with You a while? And you pour out your heart. Christians don't do that. So we don't have the rich blessings of God in our lives. The blessing of God is on other people, but not us. Tonight, let's learn the lesson that David did. Be holy. Clean up our lives. Do things the Lord's way. Do a right thing a right way. Now notice, if you would, in the outline. B, when David found the answer in Scripture, he told the people to correct the way to handle the ark. He said, I want to teach you the correct way to handle the ark. He looked for 3 months to find the answer. One, they had to sanctify themselves and be clean to carry the ark. There's the reference. Two, only the Levites could carry it, specifically the Kohathites. They were the only people that could carry it. Three, it must be carried on their shoulders, not touched. So understand, if you've got these long poles and let's say you've got three or four men on each end and one man stumbles, nothing happens. The ark stays the same. But if you put it on a cart, God could fall off of it. God's presence, He's not interested in that. He's interested in you taking every step, one step at a time, very carefully, because of whose presence you're bearing on your shoulders. Did you know in the Old Testament when the scribes would make a copy of the Scriptures and they came to the word Jehovah, Yahweh, they would not write with a pen. Every time they wrote one letter, they took that pen out and burned it. And got another quill, dipped it, wrote the next letter, prayed, threw that quill away. They didn't want any quill to ever write another name that wrote the name of God. They would count the number of letters in the book of Numbers, front to back. They knew the middle letter. That's why it was so accurate. They would pray about it. I didn't see any errors in my outline tonight. But that's unusual. And I have one page. Now I read it over and I read it over and I read it over and the secretary reads it over and then I send it to Joe Dill and he's my proofreader and he reads it over. And all three of us miss stuff. Those men treated the Scriptures so carefully that they counted each letter. And they used a quill only once for the name, for the letters of God. So if they were that careful with just writing the name, what do you think God wants you and I to do when we talk to Him? We're way too frivolous. So let's do a right thing the right way. Now notice if you would. See, then David spoke with confidence because the people didn't seek the Lord after due order at the first. Now, you'll notice if you would, 2 Samuel. You'll notice, if you would, that David, in verse number 13, watch this. This is 2 Samuel 6:13. It was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord and had gone six paces, they took six steps. He offered oxen and fatlings. They said, okay, let's stop and make a sacrifice to the Lord. They walked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, let's offer to the Lord. They did that all the way to the Jerusalem. They were trying to honor God. They were trying to worship Him. They were bringing His presence in. And they rejoiced. But they rejoiced in those six steps. And then they worshiped. We have no idea the holiness of our God. I don't. Do you remember when Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments? And God said he was there 40 days. Do you remember what he did the first 7 days? Nothing. Total silence. Waiting for God to speak. 7 days to clear the air before God said one word. That's holiness. That is why when Moses got angry at the people and struck the rock 3 times with his rods when God said to speak to the rock, that was his only error. He got a little angry. He got angry with the people and he struck the rock. And he said, must I fetch water out of this rock for you? And he struck it 3 times and water gushed out. And God said, now you can't go into the promised land. His greatest dream. You want to know why? One simple loss of temper toward a people that deserved it. But God expected more of him. And God expects more of all of us in this room. He expects more of these teenagers than what we're giving. He expects more of all the adults than we're giving. He expects holiness from us. And yet we don't. We put the Lord on a new cart and say, we're doing a good thing, Lord. Hey, we come to church. We're going to do a good thing, Lord. And, you know, we're going to worship you. And yet, hey, I got to go do this. And let me check and see if my ham is ready. Or let me go. And we sort of put God in one of our multitaskings. Step number 3. David didn't do that after he read Numbers. He said, let's just go 6 steps and pause and worship the Lord. Let's take our time and honor Him. Now, I'm not saying you got to take 6 steps and fall on your knees and worship the Lord. But I am saying our heart has got to be holy. Our attention has got to be on Him when we pray, when we come to church, when we do things. That's one of the reasons why children ought not to run up and down the aisles and crawl over the benches and jump up and down. It's not because they can't run and have fun, but this is a holy place. It's God's place. Now, it's the reason why whenever you and I come in, there's a certain respect when the service starts. We're to be friendly and warm and sweet to each other. But when the service starts, it's like all eyes upon the Lord. Lord, I want to worship you today. I think that's the reason why we ought to sing with our hearts. We ought to, as we read scriptures, we follow through, we take notes so I don't make the same mistake twice. You know, one of my greatest disappointments in my life is when I make the same mistake more than once or twice. It just kills me. I'm driving and I miss a turn and I go past it and I see the turn right there and I knew better. It kills me. The other day, I was supposed to meet somebody at some place, and I was thinking about something else, and I drove right by the exit, and had to turn, go up the top of the exit and come, turn around, come back. All the way driving up and back, I was kicking myself. Why wasn't I not paying attention? Why did I not listen better? Why did I not focus on what I was supposed to be doing? It's important that when you and I pray, when we come to church, when you worship, when you talk with the Lord, when you read, that you're clean and that you put Him first. David didn't do any of those things. He did the good thing the wrong way, and somebody died for it. Now notice this, if you would. See in the outline, second sentence. Because they followed God's word, now there is peace and joy in knowing they were pleasing God according to His word. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 14 of 2 Samuel, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And you'll notice, he's just rejoicing. He's jumping up and down. He's just worshiping the Lord. He's so excited about things. Can you imagine? He's just thrilled. It's not like he is worshiping the Lord. He is rejoicing that now the burden is off and the fear is gone. When you're afraid of something and you get it all settled, maybe you're fearful of a diagnosis coming back. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're fearful of a diagnosis. And you just, whenever all of a sudden it comes back and it's clear, you go, whew, it's like the weight of the world is off. Or a big bill and you've been trying to get it paid and all of a sudden it's paid. The weight is off. Well, that was David. 3 months he was scared of God. Then he figured it out. So he's uncontrolled rejoicing. Now notice, if you would, D in the outline, we'll close. The reason we know we have the salvation plan right is because we have God's clear command on how to be saved. We've got it in Scripture. It's real clear. We've got God's word on it. The way we know we are walking right is if we are following Scripture. So if you want to know what's a sin, look in Scripture. Look, folks, don't preconceive an idea and say, I wonder if this is really bad and if I really should do it or I shouldn't. Always go in with palms up and say, Lord, you show me what it is and I'll stop anything. Lord, I'll start anything. You just show it to me. We go in and we sort of want to try to manipulate Scriptures. Where can I find where this is okay or where that's okay? Or why do I have to go to church all the time? Or why do I mean, I'm preaching in the choir tonight. You're on a Wednesday night and I'm proud of you. But, you know, don't forsake yourselves, the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It's always been the manner of Christians to skip church from time to time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says that. But he says, I don't want you to do that. So if you're going to really be a faithful Christian, you lay it all out and say, Lord, why is it you're not blessing me? Because we're not doing the things we ought to do. Read the copy of the Scriptures. Study. Read them every day. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy. So you and I have to learn, if we do what God says, there's peace in our heart. There's victory in our lives. And we know what is right. Folks, if you want to know the truth, God will always show you. David found it, but it took him 3 months. Notice, if you would, two questions. Is your heart in worshiping and serving God? Is your heart really in it? Or do you want to do something, or are you sort of like Ananias and Sapphira? You want the credit for being spiritual, but you don't want the sacrifice of it. You don't want to give all, you want to give some. Number two, are you serving Him after due order? Are you doing it His way? Let's bow forward to prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come tonight, just talk with the Lord. Are you clean? Are things right? Have you asked Him to show you something at work or something at school or something in your life, but you've got a preconceived idea how you want it to turn out? Well, David didn't even ask, and he did it the wrong way. so did the whole nation. So it's possible to have good intentions and fail God miserably if you don't take His word and use it clearly. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Thank You for Your word and its clear presentation so we know exactly what You want us to do. Just give us the willpower to do it with open palms. Speak to our hearts. In Your name we pray. Amen.